Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hi guys, it's me, Julia. Today's episode is so fun, so full of laughs, and filled with inspiration to enjoy your single life. Today, I am joined by Steph Beagle, who shares her story of how she met her husband at 34 after dating for years. She advocates for enjoying the single journey and taking it all a bit more lightly. You're gonna fall in love with Steph. Here's the episode. I am very excited to chat with today's guest. I saw her on Kristen Cavallari's podcast. I was sitting there. I was cackling. I was nodding along to everything she was saying. I knew I had to reach out to her because I feel like she has so much dating insight to share. She's also a brand and marketing consultant, so I'll pick your brain about career stuff too. Steph Beagle, welcome to Pretty Much Done.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and I'm so excited to be new friends, like we said.
Me too. I know. Before we recorded, you said that you're a Leo. And I was like, of course I attracted a Leo into my life. Like
totally. And I also am like, I told you this, but I'm like the most Leo in the world. Like I am a proud Leo. I named my dog Leo that I then gave to my parents, but that's neither here nor there. But like, I'm proud. I just want you to know. So thank you for asking.
Good. Okay. Amazing. Well, I feel like why I wanted to have you on, I know like you're not supposed to talk age with a woman, but I feel like you had mentioned on the podcast that you had met your partner a little bit later than you imagined. Can you tell us what age you met your partner?
Hunter, I would like to talk age all day long. I am currently 39 turning 40, which we could talk about later, but I met David at 30. I'm really bad at math. 34.
Okay.
In the middle of a global pandemic, but 34, which is like definitely later, right?
Totally. So I think what I did in the moment, like any girly detective would do, is like, I'm listening to you say this. And then I'm like, I'm going to go on this girl's Instagram. And I'm like, she has a hot husband. She is like pregnant later in life. She has got it all figured out. This is inspiration for me. Like, I need to talk to her. I need to bring her on so she can tell the girlies how she did it and like why we shouldn't have pressure to settle down and feel like we need to adhere to timelines.
I want to talk to you every day if you're going to just give me like warm fuzzies and make me feel this good. Like, fuck yes. And I would say how I did it is patience, which like, it's funny. I talked to my girlfriends about this the other day. I was like, I'm not going to pretend like it was easy, right? Yeah. Or that I like felt comfortable during it or that I wasn't lonely or that talking about not settling was something that was like, I embrace that would be lying.
Yeah.
Right. But I think truly that like, I'm like, why would I settle on something this important?
Yeah.
And this big? And I don't know how you feel about this, but like, I also like self-aware enough to know that like every year that went by, I kind of was like more into myself, not in a cocky way, but I was more confident in the work and career I was building. I was more confident in what I wanted. I was more confident what was important to me, what mattered. So I think like I lived a really beautiful 20s and even early 30s, but like I really felt super connected to like doing that personal work and just kind of sitting with myself and saying like, it's okay to settle on like really unimportant things and really little things in life. But like, if I want to find a partner for the rest of my life, like unwilling to settle on that.
That's lovely. I think everyone who listens to my podcast knows that my story was that all of my 20s, I wanted to settle because I was told you need to get married and have kids. Yeah. And I think I was trying to find myself in those situations, but like my gut kept finding myself be like, I'm really unfulfilled in these good on paper relationships. And I'm
right.
so awesome. But it took like me figuring out and doing the work, realizing how awesome I was, that I was willing to not settle. And I'm curious for you, like, what was the education growing up around relationships, marriage, getting married for you? Like, what was it for you?
So I feel like very lucky in that I came from a family that my parents are still married and they showed love, they spoke love. Like, I always make the joke with love languages that I'm all five, but like words of affirmation. Like, we were like, we would sit at the table at dinner and talk about like that we loved each other, right? Like, how was your day? Like, all of that fun stuff. So I saw what a great relationship was, right? And I think my parents, again, like, very lucky. They were like, you can have whatever you want in life. Like, just don't settle for anything. It wasn't just love. So I feel like I came from that place of they never pushed me. I mean, believe me, I'm Jewish and my Jewish mother would ask me all of the time who I was dating or like where my boyfriend was, right?
Yeah.
That's not to say that I wasn't getting that pressure, but I really do feel like they were like, we can't wait to meet whoever you bring into our special family unit. And they were just really accepting of love in all forms. So,
yeah. Well, so I'm Jewish as well. I'm Russian Jewish. And I, that's, yeah.
Of course.
I thought that this was a cultural thing. And it wasn't until like I kind of got online cyberbullied by these right-wing commentators that I realized it was a societal thing. Like, this isn't just a Jewish thing. I'm curious for you, like, were you, when you were in your 20s, thinking, oh my God, time is going to run out. I am going to be less like, you almost think that you're less valuable the older you get.
Totally. And let's be honest, that is the narrative. And I think also somehow from my parents, they didn't meet so young, right? But like, I think it's interesting because there was such a generation of like meeting young, having babies young. That's what it was. There is a clock. It is ticking. It ticks loud. It ticks proud. It's like in your face. I felt that and heard that, but in my 20s, and I'm not saying this was right, I just filled my life with other things so that I wasn't always focused on like just this piece, because I also don't think I identified. I wasn't someone who like was born and like dreamed of my wedding, dreamed to be a mom. Like, I think that's okay, right? Like, mm-hmm. I dreamed of having like a really full life and traveling and building a business and also being a mom and also finding love. Like, so I think for me, I don't think I identified with this, like, there's one way that this is going to look and it's going to look this way by a certain age. But like everyone around me, definitely, that's still a lot of my friends married really young. And a lot of, I mean, I grew up in the suburbs, like a lot of my friends married young, had kids, moved back to the burbs. Like, but I also had really good examples of people who were with me on the ride and journey and were like, that's not what's important. Age isn't the most like important factor, if that made any sense.
It makes total sense. I mean, it seems like you had a really wonderful experience. I think that for me, I dealt with a lot of shame because I felt like a black sheep. Like all of those things that you're describing, I felt like I wasn't allowed to feel. Like I wasn't allowed to feel like I could prioritize travel or my career without hindering something else. And I wonder, do you think it was just the people around you, or was it the internal dialogue? Because it sounds like you have gotten to a place where you really understand yourself.
Yeah, that's what I asked you questions, but I was going to say, like, where did your shame come from? Like, was it friends, family, society, all the above?
I think so. I think a lot of it was like friends and family around me. I don't know if you had this experience, but like still probably till this day, if I go to a wedding, people ask me like, when is it going to be you?
Totally. And yes, I mean, I talked about this on Kristen's pod, but like the questions people ask, I'm like, literally, is that a real question? Like, or like they think they're complimenting you. Like, you're such a catch. Like, why are you still alone? And you're like,
yeah,
I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but like, fuck you. Right.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
And I would always want to like chew back. Like, are you happy? You know, like, totally. Like it's just, I think it was definitely an inner narrative. And like, and you said this earlier, like I wouldn't say it was easy, right? Like it was a constant moment that I had to come back to myself. And I dated. I was on like every app. I was like walking up to humans and being like, do you have anyone to set me up with? Like it wasn't like, I mean, I had a legit Google Doc at one point because I was like dating so much that I couldn't remember like who went to what school, like not that any of that really mattered.
Yeah.
But like, let's not pretend that I was like running around being like, I have this amazing life and I'm not at all sad that I haven't met a partner. Like I was worried at times that like I wouldn't find someone, but it was that internal narrative that I think I would say to myself, like, I'm lucky that I don't feel like the only thing I have going for me is like yeah. finding a man to complete me. Like I really did feel like I was building this beautiful life that someone would be lucky to be a part of. And that was like, I had to tell myself, like stare in yeah. the mirror and be like, you are great. You will have it all. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I had some weird, not shame, but I had some like weird beliefs around like, okay, if work was really great and I was like kicking ass in life and traveling and I had this beautiful home, like I couldn't have it all. Like I didn't believe that I, like no one can have that much happiness and then also find love. And what I'll say is like life is really hard, but I've changed that talk track for myself where I do believe you can have it all. I'm not saying it is perfect or that it will be easy, but I think I do. I really like not gonna, like I feel very grateful every day. And I think I was like limiting beliefs. Like that was my own limiting belief for sure.
Yeah. I feel that way too. I think it's a form of OCD. I feel like
100%. For me,
like I'm like, oh, this was a good week. So next week is going to be a bad week.
100%. Or I would be like, sometimes I'd be like, I don't want to experience. And again, I'm admitting that this is like, where did this come from? But I'm like, I don't want to experience the really low lows or the really high highs. I'd rather have like life be a 5 to 7. Then I'm like, what are you talking about? Just like live, right? And embrace. And you know what? I'm weird. Here we are.
Same. And that's why we found each other. I am curious for you, like something I tell everyone, and listen, I haven't met my person either, but something I tell everyone is if I told you, like if I told you, Steph, you're going to meet your guy at 34, you're going to be pregnant at 39, like it's all going to work out for you. Like how would you live your life? So if you are looking back in hindsight view, do you think it would have worked out this way?
Oh, I love that question. That's a good one. Do I think it would have worked out this way? Or I like to think about like, if someone told me that, like how would I have lived differently? And I think honestly, like, I think I would have just lived with like a little bit more lightness. Cause I think in the back of my mind always, there was like, just that, like, I remember, and I've said this to my husband and he's very aware, he was born to be a dad, which is like magical and amazing. I like cannot wait to experience this with him. I am so excited to have this baby boy that we call Disco Baby Slugger, which is interesting. But he had that like kind of connection and identity. I didn't as much. And I think part of it was I started to like create a narrative for myself as I was alone more and more years that I might not be able to have a baby. And how would I feel? Like, would I still be able to live a beautiful life? Like, so whether or not I'm answering your question, which probably I'm not, I'm going on like a total tangent, but like, I think about, I would have maybe like not had this like fear or maybe not said to myself, like, you can't have certain things because of age and how you would end up. Cause I do feel like I probably made choices or lived in a certain way. If I knew that it didn't really matter, I talk about this openly, but like I had a miscarriage. It's not like everything was like, oh my God. And then like I got pregnant in a day and it's all so easy. But I think that I would have just lived with a little bit more lightness and a little bit less pressure even on myself if I knew that it was going to be okay, that it didn't look the same as everyone else.
Yeah. You almost feel like as an overachiever, like if you don't put that pressure on yourself, you're misstepping. And it's totally. Like, I need to put that pressure on myself. I can't be naive and just live like willy-nilly. But I'm finding that the more wanderlusty I've become, the more abundance comes in.
I love that. And I completely, completely agree. Like, and it being like real, that's accepting and receiving that abundance. I'm not always great at that, but like, I think it's really important. If it comes your way, like receive it.
Yeah, I've become a universe girly. Didn't see that journey for myself, but I have. And I think that the universe only brings you abundance if you're willing to accept abundance. If you're like shaming it away and you're like, no, I can't. I don't deserve this. They're like, okay, she doesn't want more. We can't give her more.
100%. Right. Like I always laugh. I started practicing when someone gives you a compliment. I used to be like, Noah, like they'd be like, you look pretty. I'm like, I'm fat. Then I'm like, okay, like maybe I should maybe answer a different way. Right. So now I just practice going, thank you. Thank you very much. Because it's the same thing, right? What people aren't going to continue to compliment you if you're like, but no, I'm so ugly and I hate myself. And like, yeah, it's not really fun to compliment someone in that way then.
Totally. 100%. You brought something up around feeling like the longer you were alone, the less likely you thought a kid was going to come into the picture. I think that that is a bit of the fear for me. And I think that also there's a fear of if a kid comes in, it will like destroy the marriage. I think like that's where I'm at, not to like pile on.
Thank you so much. No, I'm kidding. That's real. I get that.
No, like how do you overcome those fears? Because I think recently I've also been like, well, why am I taking that away from myself? And why am I creating that narrative that doesn't even exist?
Okay. Also maybe like ask me in like 7 months because I'm hoping it doesn't like take away from my, but it's interesting because I met David later in life. We also are a couple that's dated for 10 years. So like I'll catch myself turning to him and being like, you know, you're going to have to pay attention to me too. And he was like, what? I'm like, you still have to like love me and take me on dates. And like, but it's interesting because I still want to adventure with him. We still have a lot of like life and love and things to discover. So I think that is okay. Right. Like don't limit. I think our path is going to look a little different. Maybe it's a little, I think about in the last year, like maybe a year and 2 months, we bought a house, got married. This is not the right order. Got engaged, got married, bought a house, had a miscarriage, got pregnant. Like what the fuck? Like that's a lot of things, right? Like, but guess what? Like that's our journey and I embrace it and we're going to figure it out, right? And then the piece on like having a baby, like I am not a doctor. Actually one day wanted to be and then realized I have a fear of blood. So like, I'm not a doctor, but what I will say, and I believe this in my core, I know it's not cheap, but I am like with that OCD comes desire to control life and I can't control life, which I've learned. Right. But anyone who will listen that I talk to who can like freeze their eggs or again, I'm not saying it's free. I'm not saying it's cheap, but like making sure there are tools out there or there are things you can do, like living a healthy lifestyle. Like I lean into wellness. I lean into all the modalities. I spend my money there. Like, again, not a doctor and there are no guarantees in life, but I tried to take out some of like the pieces that I couldn't control. I tried to mitigate my risk and like have a couple insurance policies. And like I froze my eggs at age 33 or 30, right before I met David. Mm-hmm. And like I tell people like that helps control the narrative a little bit so that you're like, at least, you know, I'm not just sitting here dating or not doing anything to help towards that goal that I know I want.
Absolutely. And you'll never regret not. You can always choose not to use the eggs, but yeah, I've gotten to the place where I think like probably next winter I will. And that'll be my journey.
Yeah. I celebrate that for you and I've got your back.
Thank
you. If you have any questions, you said it perfectly. Like it's not saying that you have to be a mom. It's not saying that you have to use your eggs, but like all of a sudden what we do know is like science says that as you get older, it's harder to get pregnant. I have a lot of friends where it's hard for them to get pregnant and they're young. I'm not saying that that's the only factor, but it's like one thing we know is like a non-negotiable is that age and your egg quality and your egg reserve, like it just decreases over time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Take us through it. You were kind of sharing with Kristen that you're from Chicago, correct?
Correct.
So you moved to LA to work for an agency. I think you said UTA, right?
Wow. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. But yes, totally. UTA.
Yeah. Okay. You worked at UTA and like, I guess you can you paint the scene of like you in LA in your 20s and how things shifted for you and how you met David? Like, can you take us through that journey?
This is a journey and I talk fast. So that's, we're lucky for that, but I'll try to do like the 1.5 minute version. Let's see how I do. So went to college in Wisconsin. I went to Madison, go Badgers, really a fun life, but I also went to class. So that was great. I learned things. Although I do wish like I maybe took like classes on like life versus like I realized the other day, I was like, I took like a Hans Christian Andersen class. Like, how am I using that in life? Okay. Anyways, I digress. We could talk about that later. I think universities need to offer life classes, like how to like sign up for insurance. What is home insurance? Things like that. Okay. So
totally.
I leave Wisconsin and I knew I wanted to be in the entertainment world, but I was like, I had the bubble of like kind of going from Chicago to Wisconsin. I was like, I need something different. I had watched Entourage, read The Mailroom, and I was like, I'm never going to work at an agency. Lo and behold, I work at an agency. I went out 7 nights a week, was making like $2, right? And my lifestyle was like really not healthy. And I was dating, having like so much fun. Like, it was a beautiful 4 years, but like, goodness, I don't think I can. I remember my parents visiting and they're like, do you have to come home? And I'm like, I think I do. And I came home and literally lived in Highland Park for 3 months and like went to Equinox 4 times a day. And like was like my cutest self because I was like, I didn't do anything, right?
Yeah.
I say I went to like entertainment rehab, but like it was just living in the suburbs with like all of the cute suburbanites. So and then from there, I moved downtown and had a career in digital ad tech and loved Chicago and had a ton of friends, did a lot of like music fest, you know, like living my best life for sure, dating, but I never... Like I would have 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Like I realize I'm going in increments of three, but like I dated, I put myself out there. I was like, it wasn't the most successful. I mean, it was funny. I remember my mom telling David once that like, it was one of like the first guys she had met. I'm like, you met other guys, but like, I definitely feel like I just knew, right? I'd be in these relationships and I'm like, I could either sit in something for 6 months to 9 months, or like, I could like get out of it and like move on. Like why yeah. sit and waste time? But as it relates to dating specifically, I was every app. I think I even like met with some of the matchmakers. I mean, like I did everything.
You're me. No, 100%.
Like I see you, you see me. And honestly, the same way that I treat everything in life, overachiever. Like I was a full overachiever as it related to dating. I was like, Judaism, I care about, I don't care about. They have to be really tall. I'm 5'1½". Like what the fuck? Okay. I did like weird wellness like rituals where I manifested husbands. Like I wrote things down. I did everything in the world that one could potentially do. And I just like hadn't found my guy. I actually was talking to someone the other day about like looking back. I remember like I would look back and be like, oh shit, like I dated that guy. He was really great on paper. We broke up. Why did we break up? And then he got married like 6 months later. I was like, you know, a lot of like missed opportunities. But like, again, none of them were my guy, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Fast forward to whatever age I am, it was COVID, which is like really important to note because I was dating a very nice man. But like it was Chicago and it was like winter time. And like, I don't know what I did with him. Like, I don't know what we did during our dating. But I remember that one of my very best friends got married and she, before the wedding, at the wedding shower, one this adorable, like beautiful, who is now my mother-in-law, lady at the wedding shower, walked around with a picture and was like, raise your hand if you're single. This is my son. And David had been married and was divorced. And I remember being like, me? Like, I don't know. And she went home and was like, I met a cute girl. And he was like, don't care, mom. Like, fuck off, sort of.
Wow.
And then he has some younger cousins, you know, like second removed, whatever. I never know what the hell that means. And he is a man who him and his family own this amazing sports bar in Chicago. Many, if they've been, have been to Sluggers. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'll meet people organically. I'm like, okay, so at the bar. He hadn't really dated Jewish girls. And his cousin put him on Hinge. And he had now said no to asking me out after his mother. I met him at the wedding. He wouldn't talk to me. He was like, he told someone I was cute, but like was like talking to other people. It was COVID and I like rented a house near like where he has a summer house. And he was like, cool, I'm not up there. Like he just like kept like kind of like dissing because he wanted to meet someone organically on his own.
Sure.
So he was put on Hinge. I was dating this other man, let's call him John, really exciting. And he messaged me on Hinge and was like, I think I'm supposed to ask you out a year ago. I don't know what this app is. I don't know how it works. Like, do you want to meet up with me and my friends? And I was like, grow some balls, like ask me out.
I love that.
And the rest is history. We went on our first date and it was like 4 hours long and he wore bell-bottom pants.
Oh my God.
They were like flares, but like, babe, like I've given him a little glow up. He's like the most handsome, beautiful. I love him so much. He has the biggest heart. His outfits were really interesting. He stepped out of the car to like open the door for me. And I was like, that is so cute. He picked me up for the date. And I like looked in his pants. I'm like, he literally looked like he had rolled off the bus from Almost Famous. I was like, what is going on?
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
But sometimes, like, if they give you the ick with a certain thing, the right guy, you're just like, yeah, whatever.
It's fine.
He did just lick his fingers. Like, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And I remember everyone being like, but you can change that. I'm like, okay, here's the worst part. He, like, really liked his flare jeans. And now he's like, look, Harry Styles wears them. I'm like, that's Harry Styles. Like, you are different.
Yeah.
But yes, that, I don't know if that was the whole story you wanted, but that's how we got to David. And then obviously, like, what happened after? I mean, he won, I won, we won, but it wasn't like, I don't know how you feel about this, but it wasn't like I met him and I'm like, oh my God, that's my husband, like, over time.
Yeah. First of all, I'm obsessed with his mom walking around.
Yeah, like, and the photo was like an old, like, black and white, him and his family love old cars. And it was like him, like standing in front of the car. I'm like, what is this? But like, she's amazing. And she was full blown, like, Jewish mom. This is my son. Who's going to date him?
Love her.
Right?
That's amazing. Yeah. I also love that you were like, this guy is like not like kind of like full of himself right now. Why is he not asking? It's like you standing in your ground. Cause I think an insecure version of me would have been like, I'm just going to follow him. I'm going to like give him a little tap, you know?
100%. I thought about it, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, no, like that's not going to happen. I will tell you that his version is like a little different than mine, which is funny because like there's one version and yeah. I have like, if I opened the Hinge app, like we would see the conversation. But like he was like, I was busy and I mean, he was recently out of a divorce. Like timing is everything. Like we know that. And clearly he wasn't ready to meet me when he met me, but I also giggle. I'm like, this is not like a grouper. I'm not like meeting you out with your friends. Like I want a man who like takes me on a date. So like, yes, we had this really cute like push and pull. And again, I guess like when we were supposed to meet, we met.
When you said like, I knew, did you know, cause you were on a 4-hour date and you were just like, this is something.
I like try to think back. I ask him all the time. I'm like, he went back to the bar and like saw some of it. I'm like, what did you tell everyone about me? He's like, I said that you were cool. I'm like, that's the worst thing ever. Like, I remember replaying with my girlfriends. Like, I was very weird about telling people about dates because like I went on so many and I'm sure totally. You feel this, right? And then they follow up with you and you're like, I don't want to talk about it because I hated that guy. Like,
yeah.
But I remember like there was something, I am not religious, but there is something really special about understanding, like we kind of grew up the same way, like culturally, like there was something there. And I always say, I still have, it's embarrassing, but of the list of 18 things that I wrote down that I was looking for in a man, like somehow I forgot to write, like, has a good heart, is a great human, like treats people with respect. Like, I mean, it was wildly, like mine was like, it's driven and is an entrepreneur. It's like, okay, cool. Like Steph, like you're a really good human. Like, why didn't you write any of those things that are like more meaningful?
Totally.
I don't think I knew, but I remember coming home and feeling, oh, wow, like this is what it's like to be with someone and be able to tell right away that they're just like a really great human and that like they care about people. And that is wildly attractive, like outside of him, like actually being sexy and wearing, you know, flare jeans. But neither here nor there.
Yeah. And if you think about like where you were at in your life, do you think like it was like the time for you?
Totally. I don't know how to teach or explain that. It's like you get that. Right? I said it at the beginning kind of like each year I feel like I've stepped more into my powers as a human. But I think the most magical thing, and I could have never probably described it at the time, was like I was ready. I was open. And I was like wildly connected to like a very good version of myself, because I honestly, he says it too. He's like, when I was working in ad tech and I was in sales and I was traveling and I was, you know, like living this big life, he's like, you might not have liked me, And weirdly, like global pandemic, like we all had to slow down. And I was home. Yeah. I was around. I had time and space to like welcome in this really special man. So yes, the short answer is yes.
Yeah. And also I thought of something like Lindsay had kind of gotten this, Lindsay Metzler, who's on my podcast, like she got this in my head. She was like, wait for the divorced guys. Cause like they know what it's like.
Like I love Lynn's as a human and she's really smart and she's really right. Because
yeah,
I say this all the time too. I'm like, I'm not saying go out and like only like switch your profile to like only divorce men, right? But there is something wildly attractive to the work. Like divorce is not easy. Getting out of a marriage, like I don't know what this is like, right? But
sure.
But doing the work to realize like something isn't right, getting out of that relationship, getting out of that marriage, growing from it, having to reflect, maybe going to therapy, like all of that work like is very different than someone who has not been through it. So I all day long, I celebrate and I would definitely tell others like definitely don't turn your back on someone who's divorced. Just make sure that they actually learned from and like maybe also like maybe they didn't get divorced because they like cheated and did something really terrible. You know,
totally.
Outside of that.
Yeah. On the point of religion, I too like I'm Jewish culturally. I feel like probably after October 7th, a lot of us feel a lot more Judaism. But I think that so many of my friends who are still single, and probably this happened for you, have kind of shifted their mindset on Judaism. It's like in your early 20s, you're like, yeah, I need a Jewish man. I only need a Jewish man.
Totally.
And he has to be Jewish. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, Jewish men can be assholes too. So like, why not date a non-asshole?
Or I'm limiting my pool. But yes.
Totally. Yeah. And the limiting your pool thing. Where do you net out? Like if me, for example, like if a Jewish girl comes to you and is like, I don't know, Steph, like this is something that is important to me, but I don't know. What's your advice to them?
Oh, I would say like be open, but like you said, even after October, like I think it's really an important thing to connect to if you believe and you even again, culturally, like spiritually, like it's something that's really important to me. And I don't think I thought about, let's put it this way. Like some of these things in life, like having a child, it does matter later. So I think when I was really young and I was like, doesn't really like, I don't go to temple. Like, but don't forget that you're going to make decisions or there's going to be terrible things that happen that you're wildly like connected and empowered. But like, what happens if someone disagrees with that? God forbid, right? Or what happens when you have to go raise a child and it makes things easier. So like, don't ignore that, whether you're religious, you're culturally Jewish, you're spiritually connected to it. It's a complication. Like there are enough things in life that are hard. Like just
totally.
Yeah. Give it the time to really think about what it would look like beyond just like the Jewish holidays.
Yeah, I totally agree. Was there a stark difference between the guys you were dating in LA and Chicago? I've dated a Chicago guy. And Chicago guys are great. By the way, when I'm in Chicago, I feel like the most beautiful person ever. Like guys
I
are just like
you.
So nice.
You are beautiful. And the Midwest charm is like a thing.
Yeah.
Dating in LA was a joke. My brother's gay. I'm absolutely in love with all of his gay friends. I felt like I was going out with a lot of men who liked men. Like I was confused, you know, like Metro, like, and no one was serious about it. And before they wanted to get like actually date you, they wanted to know like what you did for work, who you were connected to, like the values of like what, and this is a wild generalization. So like anyone in LA who's dating, good luck. I celebrate you and good luck. That's really all I could say. I just found it to be really like just not as real as like dating in the Midwest. And again, it's not about like that everyone in the Midwest at like 23 wants to stop, because like I feel like New York has some great moments like that where they're not everyone has to settle down really young, but there's like people are committed to dating. I just like take it seriously and like be present and be real. Like I did not find that in LA. I literally felt like I was on like, especially because I was at a talent agency, like I would go out and I'm like, is this a date? Like, what is this? Like, are you trying to like pitch me to like come work for you? Are you trying to like have me like get you a job? Like, what is this? That's how I felt.
Totally. I know. I was born and raised and I recently left. I live in Austin now. And I'm like, oh my God, like, wow. No one's asking me like who my dad is or like.
Literally. Like how much money you make. Like, okay, cool. Because that's the foundation of a great relationship. I've actually heard Austin has like, I feel like good. Like, how do we feel about dating in Austin?
It's weird. Like, it's okay. It's good. And it doesn't have like the LA bullshit of like me being like, oh my God, he drives a Range Rover. I'm so lucky.
Totally. Right. Like he can't afford to take me to dinner, but he drives a Range Rover. Like it's amazing. Okay. Well, yeah. Let's also remember that every city, like I felt like Chicago was, people would be like, oh my God, there's so many cute Midwest boys. I'm like, yeah, when you live here, you don't feel that way. Like,
totally. Right? So I think that what I'm going to do is I'm hoping to travel a lot more this summer. And I want to pick your brain because you mentioned the St. Bart solo trip. And I'm sure it like kicked off for you solo traveling. I love asking people about solo travel. Tell me about your experiences solo traveling.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I told this story, but net, I was someone who like literally didn't do anything alone. Like I grew up where like meals were like a time to be together. If you told me I had to go get coffee and sit at a coffee shop or like a meal alone, I'd be like, but what am I like? Do I bring my iPad and my computer? Like, what do I do? Who do I talk to? So I got forced into it because I was going away with a girlfriend. Very long story short, she had an expired passport. It was July 4th weekend. She's the most organized human in the entire world, but like never opened her passport, had just laid it out. Like it was that moment of like, either you don't go on that trip and that trip actually goes away because like you can't get your money back, or you go on that trip and you just like live outside your box and you like see what the hell this whole like traveling alone is like. So I went to St. Bart's and had the best 5 days of my entire life. Literally.
Amazing.
I like one funny note was I stayed at this hotel called Le Sereno and it was like 38 rooms and it was like a honeymoon hotel. And the GM came up to me the first night and was like, are you okay? Like, I am actually. I think everyone there thought I got left at the altar, which is fine.
Oh my God.
Yeah, which is totally fine. But I ended up going out with the locals every night. And I remember the feeling, and I know you can understand this if you travel alone. I would wake up every morning and be like, what do I want to do today? What do I want to eat? Do I want to read? Like, do I want to go in the pool 16 times? Like, what is happening? And like, and even if you travel with your best friends and you travel the same, like you're still accommodating other people and other things. And like solo travel is wildly freeing. And I actually think, and this is not for everyone, but like a lot of times if I'm open to it, like you meet some of the most incredible humans because you're like alone and they want to know your story because you're like, cool.
Yes. The first time I did it, I like got all dressed up and they're like, what is this bitch with like her little crop top and her silk pants doing? I like went to like Mastro's and ordered myself like crab legs and they're like, this girl.
I am like upset. How about that? Yeah. That is why, I mean, because I stayed at this honeymoon hotel, like that's where I coined alone moons because I was on an alone honeymoon with myself. And even if you are in a relationship, even if you are 10 years married, even if you have 17 children, go on a trip alone. It is literally magical. And it's time that like, no matter what, someone, like I had a friend who was like, oh, I did like a spa day. I'm like, that's cool. That's like baby steps towards like, like sleep somewhere overnight away from like, it is so, it's literally magical.
Yeah. I had Brittany Allen on. I don't know if you know her 30 Waves and she does Me Moons.
Oh, so yeah. Me
similar.
Moons.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. Like there's literally truly nothing better. I think I bought at some point, the alonemoon.com website. Because I'm like, there is something here. And then I'm like, I'm going to just go on Alone Moons and like not worry about like the website. You know, here we are.
There is something there. I want, like, I think that we're at such an inflection point with dating that people are so tired of the apps. I'm like, we all need to like encourage ourselves to go out and meet people and connect. Like, even, you know, me reaching out to you and we'll probably connect. And like, you have a network that you're like, oh, that single girl in Austin, you know?
Like I already actually like, so, like I didn't write it down, but I like, I have humans in Austin. I like love that I like humans 86 times, but that is it. Like, I don't know if people do this to you, but I remember when I was single, they're like, do you go to charity events? And I'm like, yes. You know, like, do you go out of the house? You know, like that type of thing. But I think one of the most amazing things is to like call in experiences that fill your cup, bring you joy, and like put you out there. It doesn't have to be a charity event, right? But you said it, like meeting people, like my superpower, and clearly you love this too, is just like connecting with humans, right? Like,
yes,
good things happen when you do so. Doesn't have to be so like manipulative or like wildly intentional or too over planned or over like rehearsed. Like, but yeah, like I love this. Like, thank you for reaching out to me, because you know what? Maybe I'll find you a husband. Who knows?
I love that. Yeah. Or even the fact that I met a friend, you know, it truly is that mindset shift.
Totally. Like it feels good and it's fulfilling. So I love that too. I think it's all related, whether or not like you're out there, like to your point, like this is not transactional. It doesn't have to be like, and now I find you a boyfriend or a husband or whatever.
Totally.
But like friendship is awesome and fulfilling, and you never know where it will go. So
I totally agree. Before I let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. I'm obsessed with Kristen and younger men. Younger men, what do we feel?
I think it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I truly believe in life. Like, we all deserve to be happy. Like, find that happiness, live your life, like, and all power to you.
Yeah. I'm so done with like shaming anyone for anything. And
right?
I feel like we're all in just like this you never know era. And I think that everyone needs to embrace it.
Totally. I caught myself the other day being like, this era and that era, it's like you do you era is my thing. And like, why do I is definitely like the mantra I live by. And I think if we all do, it sounds weird, but if everyone does you, right, you do you, like a lot less judgment, a lot less shaming, and a lot more room to like have stories like mine where happiness has come in a way that I couldn't have imagined. I'm wildly grateful, and it just doesn't look the same as everyone else, and that's fine.
I love that. I hope you buy that trademark. I hope you buy that website.
I mean, I have the amount of domains I have is really special.
I love that. Well, can you tell everyone where they can listen to your podcast, follow you, interact with you?
Yes. Come hang out with me wherever I may be. at SBiegs, SBiegs on Insta. And from there, I'll take you into my world. Well-Behaved Podcast is the name. Also, that's the Insta, but it's the name of the podcast. We do wellness remix. We talk about cannabis, sex, nutrition, like all of the things.
Love.
Me and my bestie, Lauren, do so, and we love it. And that fills our cup, and we love democratizing wellness. And outside of that, I do brand consulting. I love building brands. I focus on female founders in the wellness and the lifestyle space. Find me on Insta, reach out. I love new friends, even though I say no room for new friends. Here we are.
Here we are. I'm so, so glad we connected. I'm like, gosh, how much time does she have left before she pops a baby out?
But yes, I'm popping out a baby June 4th. So here we are.
Okay. Well, hopefully I'll find myself in Chicago before then, or we'll just virtually hang.
And also, just so you know, I'm going to be really fun after I pop out a baby. So don't worry.
I love that. And you'll inspire me. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so happy that I got to meet you, and lots more to come, I'm sure.
Me too. Me too. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Pretty Much Done. If you want more information about this episode, you can check our show notes. Go like, subscribe, and leave a review, because it helps us grow the pod. Love you. Thank you. Sorry, did I just love bomb you? I'm not toxic. You are. Okay, bye.